We're learning Parshas Toldos, and I want to focus your attention on page 2, and it's the third source up from the bottom of the page. I don't know if you got this page. Do you see what it says 2 on the bottom?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Should say 2 on the bottom.
Yes.
Page 1 we did already on Sunday for those who were with us. So now we're up to page 2 and we got up to Perek Chavav Pasuk
Hey. I wasn't here. Could you just give a little review of what you said?
It's not relevant. Okay. It's totally separate unit.
Thank you.
I always make sure that every class I give is a self-contained unit.
Thank you.
Jeremy, on your way in, can I trouble you to close the door?
Set.
Okay. So we're starting now, Jeremy, and Jeremy is my monitor.
How long do you want to keep it?
What?
How long is the shiur?
The shiur has to, Rabbi Morris said, it has to be 30 minutes.
So because you could look on there. There is a timer.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't know exactly how. So what are you telling me? It's now
30 plus is also
right. Well, we didn't start yet. Okay, we're starting now. So if you could turn it back to zero, that would be good.
You want me to sit there?
Okay, then.
Okay.
So, Rabbi, you say you don't need me. You've got your own now.
No, I don't know. We'll see if it works for me. I don't know. I'm not sure. Anyway, 30 minutes from now, you'll continue with Rabbi Myers, and there are a number of gentlemen here who are not in that group who will, after we take a little pause, we'll continue so we can finish the whole.
Where are we up to?
We're up to the following. On page 2, it says, Ekev Asher Shama Avram Bekoli. The Pasuk is describing the tremendous singular position of Avram Avinu. And if I were to ask you, what's the greatness of Avram Avinu? Without reading this Pasuk, let's play a game. What would be your knee-jerk response? What do you think Hashem would describe? Chesed, Titen Chesed Li Avram. What else? What did Avram give to the world? Monotheism and Muna. But the Pasuk says something totally different. And it's what we call in baseball a curveball. I don't know if you... I'm sure in every country there's some other phrase for it. But, and it says that Vayishmar Mishmarti Mitzvosai Chukosai Visorosai. What is the greatness of Avram? He is the one who observes. And notice all these categories. What does he observe? So one category is clear. He observes the mitzvahs. And we'll soon see how many mitzvahs did Avram Avinu observe? 613. The whole kit and caboodle is pretty amazing. Chukosai. Those include certain statutes, perhaps, that we don't understand. We'll soon see Rashi. And then it says Sorosai. So we're not sure what Sorosai is. We already have Mitzvosai. Yeah. Rashi says the following. Mishmarti, says Rashi, is a reference to Xeros. Can you give me an example of if somebody could photocopy the page here, you'll have extra copies. Okay, then. So what a Xeros? Can anybody give me an example of a Xero? Like, let's say, for example, a Kohen is not allowed to enter into what? And you know what place he's not? Exactly, what's that called? Lashon Kodesh? A Beis HaKvaros, correct? But what about a Sade, a field, where once upon a time there was a Kever, and then the Kever was Nechrash, meaning they did... What?
Beit Peres.
Very good. Wow, I'm impressed. Are you learning brachas?
That's what we're doing.
I forgot you're learning brachas. That's it. So that's called a gzera or a harchaka derabana. We're learning chulin, so we have the case of what's called basar of bechalav. Excellent. That's good, Mike. So that comes under mishmarti. Now, it's almost the kal v'chomer. Rashi says shneos la'arayos. There are certain relatives that are not immediate relatives, and a male is allowed to marry a female from those what's called shneos la'arayos. But there are one made archok. So even though in the Torah law it's not prohibited, perhaps in certain cases an uncle and an aunt and so on. But nevertheless, there's a archok of derabbana. Or shvus l'shabbos, right? You can't climb up a tree on Shabbos. Why not? It's not one of the 39 malachas. What's the answer? If you climb up the tree, you might do what? You might tear off a fruit from the tree or whatever it is, and that's called malachas tolesh and so forth and so on. So these are called mishmaros or mishmeres, a siag, a hachaka, a gzera. And then we have mitzvosai. What's mitzvosai? So Rashi has a big chiddush here. I told you that mitzvosai referred to the 613, but that's the simple pshat in the pasuk. Rashi has a much more mechudosh tikka pasuk, and Rashi says that what does the concept of torosai refer to? Mitzvosai refer to? Rashi says dvarim sheilu lo nichtavu ruuyim heim litztavos kegon gezel shvichas damim. How would you define mitzvosai according to the Rambam?
Logical degrees.
Correct, logical degrees.
Basic.
Basic, fundamental, moral, ethical, something that even the nations of the world should adopt. And we don't need the Torah itself to be mechadesh. But chukosai, that's already something else. Yetzer harav humus hola meshivin aleim koachilas chazil levishas shatneis. Ein hatam bedovar, we don't understand the reason for it, el gzeras hamelech, and that's called chukosai. So that Avraham Avinu obviously covered the entire gamut, not only the mitzvahs that are logical, but even the mitzvahs that intuitively make no sense, they seem to be irrational, in inverted commas, they are rational. We don't know what the rational is.
Non-rational.
Right? And then, included in this whole cube of the Avraham Avinu is the gzeros and archokos that the Rabbanan institute, like Shmos on Shabbos and all the other cases. Then finally we get to Torosai. And Rashi says Torosai is Torah Shebal Peh and Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Which means that Avraham Avinu is not only dedicated to fulfilling the mitzvahs and observing them, but at the same time, he's dedicated to studying the Torah. And you and I might have said studying the Torah may be part of the Torah. No, Rashi says Torosai is all-inclusive. It's not just the written Torah, it's even Torah Shebal Peh, even Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. All this Avraham knew way before the Torah was given. The Rashbam, in his Pirush Al HaTorah, has a slightly different version, interpretation. He says, Mishmarti kegon Mila. Right, the Torah says about Mila is Brisi Lishmar. So Shmira means Mila. Mitzvosai kegon Matzos. Now you have to be careful how to count, you know, the vowels over there. Kegon Matzos, Shmona Yomim. And that's called Mitzvosai because of Apostle Kasher Tziva Oso Elokim. And matzah is singular because it's meant to be an edus, to remind ourselves of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Avraham Avinu obviously predates Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then he says, Torosai, Ikar Pshuto, the basic pshat in this pasuk, is Kol HaMitzvos HaNikaros, all the mitzvos that are logical, kigon, gezel, arayos, chimud, dinim, hachnosis orchim, Kulam hayu noagim kodem matan Torah. All these were relevant and were active even before the Torah was given. And who was the first to be mekayim the Torah in all its anafim, in all its different branches? Avraham. And then he passed it on to Yitzhak and Yitzhak to Yaakov, and this goes on and on. The Torah began way before Ma'amid Arsi. Now here's the question I want to ask you. In observing the Torah, we have two fundamentally different categories. One category is called Mitzuvah Viyosa, and the other category is called Eino Mitzuvah Viyosa. What's the difference between the two categories, Jeremy? Are you with me? You look like you're a little bit over there. What are we playing? Not enough room in this room here for cricket, so I don't know. Yeah, I'm just joking. You're not Australian, are you?
Okay. Yes.
Oh, we love cricket. In any event, so what's the difference between a mitzvah viyosa and an eino mitzvah viyosa?
Well,
Doc?
If you're not commanded and you do it...
That's called voluntary, correct? Yeah. That's called an eino mitzvah viyosa. Where would you categorize Avraham Avinu and those who came after him up until Har Sinai? That's voluntary. That's eino mitzvah viyosa. Good? Fine. Rabbeinu Nisim Gaon. Okay, you're going back even before the Rishon wrote an introduction to Shas. to Masechta Brachos, and I'm sure before you started Brachos, you probably saw Rabbeinu Nissim go, and he's published in the back of the Shas Bavli. Maybe you didn't learn it because it would take a month to go through his Hakdama, and then you won't learn the Masechta. You know? But if you noticed it, he says something phenomenal that I wanted to call to your attention. Rabbeinu Nissim says that Kol HaMitzvot Shem Tluyim B'Svara, all those mitzvot that are logical, Ube ovanta deliba, which means havanat halev. In other words, you have an intuitive understanding or an anticipation of those mitzvos. Kvar hakol mischayvim bohem min hayom asher bara kodesh baruch hu es ha'adam al aretz. Wow. Which word in that sentence, if you follow that sentence, should be underlined, should be bolded? Exactly. Mischayvim bohem or chayovim bohem. The chiddush here of Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon is that we're talking about an obligation. Now, how could it be that if the Torah wasn't given, I would be obligated in the mitzvahs? Bishleim, I understand very well, call me an Eina Mitzvah V'Yosa. But to call me Mechuyavim V'Dover, that doesn't make any sense. Says the Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon, and again, part of it you'll have on your page, part of it I'll read to you out loud. He says, Olav Yalzar Achlo Dor Doros. He says, "Afal pisha mitzvos alomdos min hakosuv d'chsiva yitzav Hashem Elokim einom kulam shel shmua." He says basically that even before Matan Torah, before they had the vayitzav, meaning the explicit command, nevertheless they were obligated because there is an intuitive understanding of God and what God wants from us, what we call the basic fabric of morality. Says Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon, that fabric of morality is something that's obligatory even before the Torah is given. And what happens with Matan Torah? The Torah adds other dimensions, namely what? Mitzvot that are not necessarily intuitive, but that which is intuitive is obligatory. And now I want to learn with you the Ramban, which is the last source on page 2.
When the Torah does that, it changes those rules. It's now, although they are common sense, you do them for another reason, not only
right. That Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon doesn't have. You know, that's already, I think, a later insight that maybe Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon knew about it, or he wasn't even goris it. He didn't accept it. Now, I want to take a look at this Ramban with you. And if you can, try to read the Ramban very carefully. Let's translate the Ramban. He says, Hanira Eli, Midas Rabosenu, it appears to me, based on the opinion of Chazal, of our rabbis, Shalomad Avram Avinu Torah Kula, Beruach HaKodesh, he had some sort of Holy Spirit and intuitive understanding of the Torah, V'Asak Ba, and he dedicated himself to the study of Torah, ubitamei mitzvoseo v'sodoseho, and even the underlying reasons for the mitzvahs and the secrets. This is what we call Kabbalah. V'shamar osakula. Not only did he study the Torah, but he even what? Observed the Torah and all of it, says the Ramban. But kemisha eino mitzvah v'yosa. Interesting. This is not like Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon. Again, the Ramban doesn't make reference to Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon. I'm not sure if he was aware of Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon. He's saying, the Ramban, is that Avraham Avinu's dedication to mitzvahs was Eino Mitzvah V'Yosa. It was not obligatory at all. It was purely voluntary. Okay. Can anybody... You know what the word diuk means? I don't know how to translate the diuk. L'dayek v'loshen ha-Ramban. To be what? An inflection, it's called?
Punctuation.
Ah, punctuation. No. A diuk means that if, let's say, you say A and B, and then when you get to the next line, you make a comment, but you limit that comment to, let's say, B, and you don't apply it to A. That's called a diuk.
To be exact.
Exact. To be precise or meticulous when you read a text. So if you could be medayik for me in the Lashon HaRamban, what conclusion do you draw from this Ramban?
He kept the whole Torah.
Okay, that's pretty explicit. As an Eino Mitzvah V'Yosa. But look again at the Ramban. Does the Eino Mitzvah V'Yosa and the Ramban apply to everything?
Just the explainable things. The obvious things.
Okay, that could be. Okay, but you're not with me on this, Rabbi. So let's start at the Ramban once again. The Ramban says that Avraham Avinu dedicated himself to the study of Torah, correct? Osak ba, that's a misaka, lasok b'divrei Sorah, and he understood Tamei mitzvahs, he understood the sodos of the mitzvah. And then the Ramban says, not only was Avraham Avinu preoccupied with the study of Torah in its full depth, he also observed the Torah. Do you have the A and B? So, right? And now the Ramban says, Moshe eino mitzuv haviyosa v'shamar osa kula kamish eino mitzuv haviyosa. The eino mitzuv haviyosa, the Ramban Amram refers to what?
Voluntary.
To what? But again, you're not being medayik in the... This A and this B. And then the Ramban says, with regard to... Right? I don't want to give it away.
But he kept the mitzvahs voluntarily, but even though he learned them all. And he knew the reason.
But again, if the Ramban is saying that Avraham Avinu observed the Torah and its mitzvahs voluntarily, what is the Ramban implying? This is what we call mitoch lava teshvein. That the study of Torah...
What's a
chiyuv? Excellent, Jeremy. Ah. Do you follow? If the Ramban held that both A and B are eina mitzuv v'viosa, the Ramban wouldn't have used the language v'shamar osa k'eina mitzuv v'viosa. He should have said v'lomad v'osak bo v'shamar k'eina mitzuv v'viosa. The Ramban takes a deep breath with a pause in between. The Ramban opens with the limud haTorah of Avraham Avinu, his esek haTorah. Then he goes on to Shmiras HaTorah, and when he gets to Shmiras HaTorah, the Ramban defines the observance of the Torah as Eino Mitzuv HaViyoseh. Stach Rabosai, this is an unbelievable conclusion. If we're reading the Ramban carefully, the Ramban is implying that with regard to Esek HaTorah, Avraham Avinu's situation was that of a Mitzuv HaViyoseh. He was obligated. And here I think perhaps we can take a part, not the whole kit and caboodle, but a part of Reb Nissen Gaon. Remember that Reb Nissen Gaon broke new ground over here, a very revolutionary opinion of Reb Nissen Gaon that you could have mitzvos that are obligatory even before they were given, based on the very fabric of the created world by God. Which mitzvah, in the Ramban's frame of reference, can we single out to fit the description of Nissen Gaon, and it's obligatory before the Torah was given? Exactly, the study of Torah. If Avraham Avinu had Ruach HaKodesh, and it was revealed to him, what was revealed to him? The Torah. And now Avraham Avinu could study that Torah, he could delve deeply into the Torah, he could reveal its secrets. Then, says the Ramban, by implication, Avraham Avinu is obligated to study the Torah. Could you imagine if the Torah was revealed to Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu says, you know what, I'd rather study biology. No, I'm not opposed to study biology, but I mean to say exclusively biology. He does. The Torah was given to me, but you know what?
If he's given the Torah and he has an obligation to learn the Torah, yeah, then keeping the mitzvahs can't be obligatory. Has to be obligatory.
No, that's a fascinating idea. That the Ramban is maintaining that there's such a concept as studying the Torah just simply for the sake of what? Of knowing the Torah. The mitzvahs themselves, say the Ramban, are not obligatory. God never commanded Avraham in the mitzvahs, according to the Ramban.
But isn't that a thought that we're not supposed to have? We're not supposed to learn the Torah simply for the sake of learning the Torah. We're supposed to learn the Torah.
Well, it depends.
So that we can do mitzvahs.
After the Torah is given, and now we're obligated, because again, the Ramban holds it until our Sinai, it's eight of it. So the Torah hasn't been commanded. Once the Torah is commanded at our Sinai, now all that study of Torah has to be for the sake of implementing the Torah. That's called almanas lasos. In fact, Rabosai, there is Torah that we can study that's not even almanas lasos. For example, let's say that here in the Amic Learning Center we would decide to learn Kudshim, or as the Litvaks call it, Kudsim. You know, the old time Litvaks. I knew one person who couldn't pronounce the shit. Or let's say we would decide to learn Taros, or let's say we would decide to learn a perek in Sanhedrin that's called Ben Sorer Umoreh. Chazal say, according to one opinion, that Ben Sorah Mora Lo Hoya Lo Nidle. No, never. El Adrosh for Kabbal Schar. Meaning there are secrets of the Torah, there's wisdom in the Torah that are totally independent of implementing the Torah, of Kiyum and observing the Torah. But nevertheless, this is the wisdom of Hashem. We embrace the entire wisdom of Hashem, and Avraham Avinu was dedicated to understand the Sodos of the Torah. He went a step further, and he even implemented the mitzvahs as what? As an Eino Mitzvah of Yosef. That was Avraham Avinu's own decision. But what he was obligated to do is Hashem offered him the possibility and the accessibility to the wisdom of Hashem and his Torah. Avraham Avinu is not going to give up on that. Michael?
You said that Rabbeinu Nissim said that what's Mitzvah is all those mitzvot that are logical.
Right.
Well, and then you said that when Avraham was given the Torah, it's not. Why is it logical to study Torah? He could have, like you said, he could have chosen. I think I prefer to study biology. Why is it logical?
I'll tell you why. Because the essence of man is to understand the divine being. The relationship between man and God defines man himself. When Hashem creates man as a tzelem Elokim, so to speak, an image or to some extent a duplicate of God. Man has this desire to know God. That's something that's so fundamental, says the Ramban, that if a person has the access to that knowledge, if he has the possibility of exposing himself and even delving deeper and deeper into that knowledge of God, to get a look, to get a glimpse of God and the way God thinks and his wisdom, that becomes obligatory. That's as far as the Ramban is going to go. With regard to the Asiyas HaMitzvahs, the Ramban says, let's wait till Har Sinai. Ella what? Avraham Avinu, on his own volition, decided as an Eino Mitzvah Vios. Give me just one more minute to finish this Ramban, because we sort of stopped in the middle. The Ramban says, Ushmirasa Osa Haya Ba'aretz Bilvad. Can anybody translate those words of the Ramban? Exactly. Avraham Avinu opted. Again, this could be another difference between before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah. To observe the mitzvahs, but only where? Only in Eretz Yisrael. This is so typical of the Ramban. It's here in Parshas Toldos, but it really reveals the Ramban's entire philosophy from beginning to end that encompasses the entire Chumash from Bereishis until the Eni Kol Yisrael. The Ramban is of the opinion that mitzvahs were given in Eretz Yisrael and they were they were meant to be fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael. The fact that we Nebuch are in Chutz Laretz, some of us are in England, some of us in South Africa, some in Australia even, some in Brooklyn, New York, Nebuch, you got to do the mitzvahs. But you know what? Get into the mood for mitzvahs. You know, just train yourself to do the mitzvahs. But really, the place for mitzvahs is here in Eretz Yisrael. And it's unbelievable because this should be, in my opinion, the cornerstone of what we call religious Zionism. What does it mean? Why do I love the land of Israel? I'm not talking about the political entity, the Zionist entity, the state of Israel. I'm talking about why do I desire with every fiber of my being to be here in the land? Because in the Ramban's perspective, that's with him. And who proves to us that he did not observe the mitzvahs in Chutz Laretz?
Yaakov,
because Yaakov married two sisters, of course. One of them died as he was entering back into Eretz Canaan, in Derech Beit Lechem. Yaakov bechutz laretz nasa shtei achyos v'chein Amram. Amram also married his aunt. Is that how you say it? His aunt. Ki amitzvos mishpat elokei haaretz hem. The mitzvos themselves come from the God of the land. You know, God has a special relation to this land. In all other lands on the face of the earth, according to the Ramban, God sends emissaries and delegates. Of course, he's the boss on top, he's the CEO. But here in Eretz Yisrael, he has no delegates. He controls the land, supervises, and is mashkiach directly over the land. The afal pishus harnu bechovas haguf bechol mokum, the mission establishes that those mitzvahs which have nothing to do with the land but is chovas haguf, they apply even in Chutz Laretz. Ukvar ramzu rabosenu asod bazeh. And he says, you'll have to wait till we get to Parshas Ekev, and there I'm going to reveal the secret, and that is that mitzvot in Chutz Laretz, according to the Ramban, are, if you take Torah literally at least, an exercise. But really, the mitzvahs were meant to be fulfilled here in the land of Eretz Yisrael. So let's just summarize what we've seen so far. I don't. This doesn't help me, Doc. Really, it just goes black on.
Okay, I didn't think you were looking.
I keep looking, but I don't see it. I don't know. You know, I'm in deep trouble with the boss here if I overstep my bounds here. 23. Good. So we still have 7 minutes. Okay, great. So let's just summarize what we've seen so far. Number one, we saw that Avraham Avinu, in God's description, is singled out for the fact that he observes the Mishmarti and Mitzvosai and Chukosai and Torosai. We saw that according to Rashi, these four words indicate different categories, the last of which is the study of Torah. We saw that according to Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon, before the Torah is given, there is a concept, at least as far as some of the mitzvahs, those are rational, of mitzuveh v'yosik, be obligated. And then we saw the Ramban, who seems to imply, if we read it meticulously, a distinction between mitzvahs themselves and the study of Torah. Whereas mitzvahs, before the Torah is given, is eino mitzuveh v'yoseh. The Ramban says, as far as Torah is concerned, Torah itself for Avraham Avinu and then his disciples that follow him, his children, etc., etc., that becomes obligatory. And then we saw what the Rabban says, but any mitzvahs that you can fulfill before the Torah is given, the others fulfill them, but they took upon themselves only in Eretz Yisrael. Now on page 3. Did you get page 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just in God to Yaakov marrying two sisters. Why can't we argue that it was because it was before Matan Torah? And not because
he kept on the Torah.
No, because Yaakov Avinu, like his father and his grandfather, fulfilled the mitzvahs out of a commitment of an Eina Mitzvah V'yosa. How can he then be married to two sisters? Avraham Avinu and his children and his disciples are being Mekayim the Torah to its very nitty-gritty detail, every nuance, even Shavus of Shabbos. And yet Yaakov Avinu marries two sisters. How could that possibly be? And that's the Ramban's thesis. The Ramban, by the way, elsewhere answers up many other kashas with this thesis that before Matan Torah, even a Chovas HaGuf, they never observed in Chutz Laretz. But I want to read to you a Rashi in the Parsha of Mora, in Bishalach, and this is in Shmos Tesvav Chav Dalid. Rashi is quoted by the Ramban. Let me just borrow this for a split second. I give it right back. Yeah, the Ramban.
Where is this?
Is the top of page 3.
Oh, okay.
Sham samlo chok u'mishpat sham niso. What is the chok u'mishpat that's given there? There refers to Mara. This is before Har Sinai. So again, we're seeing mitzvahs that had been given and possibly even observed before Matan Torah. So Ramban quotes Rashi. Says Rashi, Parshios sheyis asku bohen. Although Avraham Avinu had Ruach HaKodesh, and to him there was an access to the entire Torah, the whole corpus of the Torah. But that's not true with regard to your rank and file citizen of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar. Not everyone in Klal Yisrael was able to have access to the Torah before it was given. So Hashem gave part of the Torah to Klal Yisrael. And Rashi delineates what parts of the Torah, before the Torah was given. And Rashi delineates what they were, you know, like Paraduma and other parts of the Torah, Shabbos. Mashma shahodiyam hachukim ahem v'limed osam v'asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'tzavos eschem bakach. What does Rashi say over here? Again, if you be very careful about the language of Rashi, maybe just for 5 minutes I would close the door, Rabbi Osei, because I push it, can't concentrate. I'm sorry, I apologize. We have to get air conditioning here. Hint. But okay. just for 5 minutes, then we'll open the door. Rashi says, Parshios sheyis asku bahen. Again, the shorish of the word is Asek. Again, the same word Asek that we saw in the Ramban in Parshas Toldos. And then Rashi says that Osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Litzavos Osam Kach. In the future, those mitzvos will become obligatory. Litzavos. Litzavos is imperative, correct? What does Rashi seem to imply when he uses the term parshiyos she's asku bahen. On these parshiyos that are already revealed to Klal Yisrael and Mara before our Torah, the study of those parshiyos, she's asking, is that obligatory or is it voluntary? What does Rashi seem to imply? Rashi seems to imply it's asku behem. It's like lashon tzivui. Only when Rashi gets to the liyosid lavo of fulfilling these mitzvos, then Rashi says because down the line they will be commanded in this mitzvah. And I would like to prove to you because the Ramban adds the following five words. The Ramban says al derech shalomad Avram Avinu es haTorah. What happens? We're here in Parshas Mara. Klal Yisrael are in the Midbar. They're being taught certain specific, singled out certain parshios. And if we had time, we'd have to ask the question why those specific parshios were singled out. And all of a sudden, the Ramban has what we call in Yiddish a tzushtel. Are you familiar with that, right? He compares an analogy to the study of Torah of Avram Avinu. Shalom at Avram Avinu said Torah. Why does the Ramban feel excited, if you will, and comfortable with adding that phrase? Because the study of Torah of Avram Avinu, according to Ramban, is what? Is it voluntary or is it obligatory? It's obligatory. The Ramban wants to say that there is an obligatory study of Torah even before the Torah is given. And it reflects itself, it expresses itself in two different directions, two different tributaries. Number one, in the case of Avram Avinu, who had access to the Torah in its entirety, and Avram Avinu expanded by delving into the Torah to Soros HaTorah and to the Yisori HaMitzvah HaTorah, Tami HaMitzvah, and then even the rank and file citizen of Klal Yisrael received part of the Torah, not the whole kit and caboodle, before it was given to Har Sinai. Where? At Mara. And Rashi says the Ramban, when he says she is partial, she is asku behem, Rashi means that we, the people of Israel, receiving these parshas before the Torah, become obligated to study the Torah in the same way that Avram Avinu was obligated to study the Torah. Now, if you ask me, says the Ramban, what about implementing these mitzvahs? Says the Ramban, that's already a matter of hergel. That's a matter of getting them used to the mitzvahs. That's an Edo mitzvah v'yoseh. That's a different category entirely. And therefore, the Ramban in Parshas Beshalach, which I think you have on the top of your page 3, is very much, shall I say, consistent, reflecting what he's already established here in Parshas Toldos. And the answer is that there was never a tzivui at Mara to be mekayim the mitzvahs. There was a tzivui to study those parshiyos in the Torah, but the kiyum mitzvahs itself becomes begeder eino mitzuva.
You're not allowed to marry two sisters if they're both alive.
Yeah.
And Yaakov was married to Rachel and Leah. Now the Chazal understood that even before the Torah was given, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov observed the Torah. And if that be the case, how could Yaakov violate the law of the Torah that prohibits marrying two sisters? And the Ramban's thesis is that he was allowed to do that because he was in Chutz Laretz. And only after the Torah was given is it obligatory in Chutz Laretz. But before the Torah is given, those mitzvahs that they took upon themselves were only relevant and only activated in Eretz Yisrael. Good? Okay, now I want to point out to you something interesting. And that is that Rashi, a little bit later on in Parshas Vayishlach, that's the second source on your page, Periklam and Beis, Posukei, when Yaakov Avinu says in Lavan Garti, says Rashi, Vitaryag mitzvos shamarti.
That's a famous Rashi.
That's a very, very famous Rashi, and Rashi seems to indicate that the Avos, including Yaakov Avinu, fulfilled all Taryag mitzvos. Now, I'm not sure if Rashi means that they fulfilled that mitzvah as a mitzvah v'yos. I don't think they were commanded in those mitzvahs. But at least, at the very least, as an eno mitzvah v'yos. And the question is, if Yaakov Avinu is where now at this point? In Beis Lavan. You remember where that was?
It's not in Eretz Yisrael.
Right, it's outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's in a place called Aram.
Right.
Now, according to the Ramban, the mitzvahs that were accepted by the Avos were only to be observed in Eretz Yisrael at that point, before the Torah was given. So then how is Yaakov boasting that he fulfilled Tarek mitzvahs with Lavan, a base Lavan, that's in Chutz Laretz?
That's precisely why.
No, but I'm saying, why the Ramban is claiming that the Avos never fulfilled the mitzvahs in Chutz Laretz? That's why Yaakov was married to two sisters in Chutz Laretz.
Right.
So what does Yaakov mean when he testifies, Tarek mitzvah shamarti, while I was in base Lavan for almost 20 years, why would he observe the mitzvahs in base Lavan? The Ramban says they never observed the mitzvahs in Chutz Laretz. So I think what you're going to have to say is the following. Just like the Ramban's thesis is that mitzvahs and chutzot are kind of exercise or lahargil es adam, they're meant to train a person and prepare him. It's a kind of a chinuch in order to prepare him for the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. So too, Yaakov Avinu took it upon himself to observe the mitzvahs and chutzot in base love on, but as a training to get him, you know, to get him pumped up, to get him, you know, into a...
So you're saying he didn't have a chiyuv, but...
Exactly. He not only wasn't he an Eina Mitzvah V'yosa, there are three madrigas. There's one madriga called a Mitzvah V'yosa that applies to the mitzvahs after Matan Torah, or according to Ramban, even Talmud Torah, before Matan Torah. Then there's an Eina Mitzvah V'yosa, and that applies to all the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael before the Torah is given. And then there's something called a chinuch for mitzvahs, which means just to educate a person and train him to do mitzvahs. He's not really doing the mitzvahs. We're going to have to reinterpret this statement in Chazal, which Rashi quotes, that im lovan garti v'tarig mitzvah shamarti, while I was in base love, we're going to have to say that the Chazal don't mean that he was mekayim them as mitzvahs. It's not even an eino mitzvah v'yos. It's not even a level of a voluntary mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah at all, because these mitzvahs were never accepted in Chutz Laretz and they weren't applicable in Aram. The answer is their education and training. That's all Yaakov meant to say, that he was very meticulous to make sure that he'd be in shape and well-trained and well-oiled for the mitzvahs. Now the Ramban, here in Parshas Toldos, continues, and he says, Ubi Yosef Darshu, Chazal Nemedrash say about Yosef, Shahoya Meshamer Es HaShabbos Afilu B'Mitzrayim, that when Yosef was in Mitzrayim, he observed the Shabbos. So why is this a question on the Ramban?
Because again, he didn't need to.
He didn't need to. It was in Chutz Laretz. Says the Ramban that Shabbos is the exception to the rule. And the Avos were Mekayim Shabbos even in Chutz Laretz. Why? Mipnei Sheishkula Keneged Kol HaMitzvos. Because Shabbos is so weighty, it's equal in its significance, in its severity, to all the other mitzvahs combined. Why? Lefishi Eidus Al Chidush Olam. Because Shabbos is testimony to the creation of the world. The Hoya Osa came, and therefore Yosef was very careful about observing the Shabbos in Mitzrayim. Kidei Lelamed as Bonov, in order to guarantee that he would teach his children, and that's Ephraim Menashe. And Munas Brias Olam, the belief and the faith in the creation of the world, Lahotzi Milibam Kavonas Avodazor Vedeos HaMitzrim. Because they were in a land in which they were surrounded by idol worshippers, the Mitzrim, and they didn't believe in the creation of the world. So it was very critical for Yosef to find any method at his disposal to counter the influence of the general culture and the society in which they were living, these children, namely in the Mitzrim, which is an Ovid Avodah Zarah society. So he used Shabbos as a basic tool to instill within his children the belief in God and God as creator.
When did Ramban say this applied until basically Matan Torah, I'm assuming?
Right.
This is the whole thing.
Right. With Matan Torah again, then we get to the level of mitzvah, of right. Mitzvah v'os. The Ramban continues, and he says, "V'imkein yekol ze bonui al das shahoya avram mekayim v'sharmes haTorah shelo nitna." Everything that we've been saying about interpreting this pasuk of ushmartem, again the pasuk by Yishmar Mishmarti, etc., it's all based on the assumption that Avram Avinu fulfilled the Torah and observed it before it was given. And the Ramban now wants to support that thesis based on another medrash of Chazal. You remember that Yosef revealed himself to his brothers, and now they called, he summoned Yaakov Avinu to come down to Mitzrayim. But of course, the brothers would have to convince Yaakov Avinu beyond the shadow of a doubt that Yosef was alive. You know, Yaakov, all these years, decades, he believed that his son Yosef was dead. So the pasuk says, "Vayiten lem Yosef agolos." You remember this? Yosef hands over to the brothers chariots, right? And he tells them to go back to their father, to our father in Eretz Canaan, with these agalot. Say Chazal, what was the purpose of these agalot? It wasn't just to carry things. Yeah, what else?
Not to bring him back.
No, it was a code. Yeah, to bring him back, but it was a code word. Agalot was a code word. Shepiresh mimenu, the last time that Yaakov saw his son Yosef before they were separated, b'parshas Egla Rufa, they were studying the parsha of Egla Rufa. Shahaya Osek b'Torah, because Yaakov Avinu, just like his forefathers, Yitzchak before him and his grandfather Avram, was Osek b'Torah. And Yaakov taught the Torah to his son Yosef. The Ad Achshav Lonit the Torah, even though the Torah wasn't given. So obviously the Avos studied the Torah. Varek Siv, Vayishmar Mishmarti, Mitzvosai Chukosai v'Torosai. Visham Amru Shaya Mishamir Afilu Digduke Torah Vayam Alami Labanov. In other words, the Bracious Rabbi wants to know, how was it that Yosef successfully convinced his father that he was alive, that he, Yosef, was still alive? Yaakov would no doubt doubt such a... He gave it to him correctly. I call it a code, or you call it a simon. I think yours is better than mine. It was a simon. How do you know it's me? Only I could be privy to this information. It's a secret password. Only I could know what was the last thing that we were studying together. What was the last sugya that we studied together before we were separated? Mehecha Tesei, how would Yaakov know that this was the last thing that they learned unless they learned together? So we see that Yaakov, you know, according to the Medrash, was Osek B'Torah like his forefathers. But then the Medrash adds, if you take a look in this language of the Ramban, he's quoting the Medrash, V'ad achshav lo nitna Torah. If you can underline those words, focus on those words. And it would seem that the Medrash is asking, how could it be that they studied the Torah before it was even given? And the answer is that Avram Avinu observed the Torah, according to Chazal. Now, if he observed the Torah, he must have had the Torah and he must have studied the Torah. But again, we could say it a little bit sharper. We could say that Avraham Avinu observed the Torah as an Eina Mitzuvah V'Yosef. But as far as the Talmud Torah that he studied it with his son Yosef, Yaakov Avinu studied with his son Yosef, that was already Mitzuvah V'Yosef, according to our understanding in the Rambam. Okay, Rav Osai, so we'll...
Just a question.
Yeah, questions.
With regards to keeping the Torah in Eretz Yisrael, surely the problem is Yosef was asking his father to come out of Eretz Yisrael and basically no longer observe the Torah as such, to come and meet him. Is that a problem in itself?
The entire episode of Yosef in Mitzrayim is part of a divine scheme to bring the Yaakov and the Shvatim down to Mitzrayim. This is the commencement of Golos Mitzrayim. That's going to last for centuries. Now what you're asking is, how did Yosef know that it was divinely ordained that Yaakov and his children come down and settle in Mitzrayim at that particular point, when in effect it undermined the ability, according to Ramban, of the Avos to fulfill the Torah? Because their Kivma Torah is only in Eretz Yisrael. It must be that Yosef understood through some prophecy that this was meant to be, in the divine plan, the beginning of Golos Mitzrayim. How did Yosef know this? Where did he get this prophecy?
From the
dreams. Exactly. Ramban holds, and the Ramban is Marach on this, that the dreams of Yosef were prophecy. And that's why Yaakov Avinu Shomar Sadovri was waiting to see if and how these dreams would come to fruition. And the Ramban's thesis is that Yosef was obligated as a Navi to bring about the fruition of all his nevuah. He would do everything that he had to do to make sure to get his father and his brothers down to Mitzrayim, because they were meant to come down to Mitzrayim. And Yosef knew this based on the prophecy. And Yosef was going to do everything that he could to prepare for Golos Mitzrayim. If you remember, he sends, you know, Yehuda is there to set up a yeshiva down in Mitzrayim, and Yosef wants to put them in Goshen. All the precautions and the preparations that were necessary, because this was the beginning, the kickoff of Golos Mitzrayim. And Yosef knew that through a prophetic revelation that expressed itself in the dreams. And Yosef would bring about the implementation of that prophecy. And therefore, forget about mitzvahs. Now we have to begin a history, a period of time, an epoch in Jewish history of Golos Mitzrayim. Okay, there, Rabosai, we'll stop here.
Isn't it true that Yitzhak knew, since he had a Kodesh also, he knew that there was a reason why all these different events were happening with Yosef and everything? And about his
it's hard to say exactly what Yitzhak knew and what he didn't know.
Because
you know, that's a sugya unto itself. If Yitzhak had a Ruach HaKodesh, why is it that Rivka, and only Rivka with her Ruach HaKodesh, was able to steer things in a direction that Yitzhak was not happy with, to make sure that Yaakov would inherit the Birchas Avram? So it's not so clear exactly how far Yitzhak Avinu's prophecy went. But Rabosa, I think we're going to have to stop here. Now we're going to learn Masechta Chulin, and you're always invited to join me if you can. We're starting a brand new Mishnah.